For one believeth that he made all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him that eateth judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. And you know something, those verses like that, they don't need any comment on them. Anybody that can understand English can understand what God just said. Verse 5, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now come down to verse 7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we're the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died, rose, and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. In other words, there's no need to judge somebody else. They're going to stand in the same judgment that we're going to stand in. We're all going to stand there. So why try to judge them now? Leave the judgment up to the judge. And Christ said that the judgment had been committed to him. So leave it up to him. Verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God, so that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now he comes on and he discusses the eating of meats and whatever as a stumbling block. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give not offense, neither the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Turn, please, to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. All right, Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now, the responsibility of the believer in the dispensation of grace is what I'm concerned with here. Now, there are those who believe that just because we preach the liberty and freedom which is ours under grace, that we mean by saying that we've been set free to live in sin. In other words, that's always the attitude they have, is that you're saying then that we are to live in sin. I mean, it's the same old 76, it's that same old go-around. You know, if I believe what you believe, I'd just go rob a bank, or this and that and the other. Well, just because we preach liberty, folks, and that we have freedom under grace and whatever, we are not saying that we're not responsible in the dispensation of grace. We believe in responsibility of the believer in the dispensation of grace. There are those that because of that which I preach and I teach, they believe that I believe that sin is no longer sinful. Anything's okay and right in the eyes of God. Anything we do is acceptable to God. In spite of the fact of preaching and teaching consistently in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we want to be acceptable to God, and the acceptability to God has nothing to do with our salvation. It has to do with our works. And it has to do primarily Well, that which comes out the mouth. Well, there are those today that their physical makeup, their physical attitude, their physical walk in life might be the cleanest upon the face of the earth, and they claim acceptability to God when nothing they say is acceptable to God and won't be acceptable when they face the Lord in judgment. I believe that the believer has a responsibility in the dispensation of grace. In other words, that which they say is just not true. In fact, we that know preach the truth, try to preach the truth, we are aware of the responsibility of the believer. And that responsibility is what this message is all about. In other words, I do not believe that I can live from 1955 until I go to meet the Lord without meeting those things that I preached and taught and did and whatever in the dispensation of grace without facing them before God. But that isn't all. I'm not foolish enough to try to preach and teach to anybody that they are to disregard any responsibility and believe that they can just live any way they want to live under any circumstances they want to live and not have to pay the consequence. Anybody that's got sense enough to get out in the rain, out of the rain, is aware of the fact that when a man gets drunk, there are certain things that can take place, and he must face the responsibility that those things might take place when he gets drunk. But that has nothing to do with whether God paid for our sins or not. In other words, I try to preach as hard as I can and try to teach as hard as I can that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I try to preach and try to teach that grace is grace, it is not works, and God Almighty is not saving us by that which we do, and on, and those things which we do that are sinful are paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. But that does not change the very fact that those things we say and do consistently, we are responsible for. There is the responsibility of the believer. In other words, that Bible said there where we're reading in chapter 14 that no man liveth to himself and no man dieth to himself. We are all a part of the human race. And what we do affects other people, but you know something? More effective than what we do is what we say. And people can be so careful with what they do and never pay any attention to what they say. The responsibility of the believer. The first thing I want to mention to you is the fact that under the law, God was responsible for the decisions of the believer. In other words, the Lord made the decision for the children of Israel in coming out of Egypt. God never made the decision for you in bringing you out of a denominational system. God made that decision for those people. God was responsible. God made a promise to Abraham. He said, I will bring them out. I will put them in this land. And God Almighty faced that responsibility, got them out of Egypt, and so forth. God made their decisions for them. Look at them in the wilderness. As they traveled through the wilderness, they were not left to themselves. It wasn't a matter of them having to root for themselves, so to speak, and get out and get their food for themselves. They needed food, and God Almighty was responsible for that food, and He rained down the manna from heaven. They wanted meat, and God Almighty brought the meat unto them, and on, God made their decisions for them. Under the law, God Almighty is responsible for the decision of the believer. God told the children of Israel that He'd get them into the promised land, and He put them in the promised land. The commission.
Under the Great Commission,
which has to do with the law.
Under the Great Commission, God Almighty is responsible for the decisions. God made the decision. He said to those people, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them the things that I have taught you, and so forth and so on. There is no way that a man has to. He doesn't have to wonder about that kind of thing. That's the reason so many people that are under the Great Commission are also under the law, because the decisions are cut and dried. The man doesn't have to make any moral decisions for himself. He doesn't have to make any decision whether to come out of this or stay in that or go there or do this. Somebody else makes the decision for it. For instance, in a denominational system, the leaders of the denominational system, generally speaking, make the decision for the rest of the people. People don't want to face responsibility. They don't want to make the moral decisions. And it's like a child being subject to their parents. Turn, please, to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, let's read from verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, and so forth and so on. In other words, a child in the household of his parents is like a servant. I was in my household. My mother and daddy said, go and do this and don't do that and come here and bring that, and it's your job to do this and all. I didn't make the decisions. They made them for me. But one day I left home, and when I left home, I had to make the decisions myself. The teaching that I had received at home could be a background, it could be a basis and a foundation, but nevertheless, I had to make those decisions. I didn't have my mother and daddy there and be able to run in and say to my daddy, what did I ought to do in this situation? Or what do you think about that? Or should I do this or should I do the other? I had to make them on my own. So it is with you and I under grace. We have to make our own decisions. We have a moral obligation to be free from the law and be free from the decision making of other people. We have the moral decision, the moral obligation rather, of responsibility under grace, that we are to face that responsibility and make our decisions under grace. Not allow other people to set aside certain days we are to worship. Not allow other people to tell us what we can eat, what we can drink, where we can go, when we can go, and whatever. We've got a moral obligation to make those decisions, and those decisions are to be decided on the basis of the Word of God. The second thing about this that I want to mention to you is that under grace, we make our own, that is, as we come of age. In other words, we are no more a servant, we're a son. We're a child of God. But you know what? The moral teaching under the law follows us when we go out into the dispensation of grace. Turn, please, to Luke 15, and there's a character here that reminds me of this situation. Luke chapter 15. All right, in Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And by the way, in making an application to my message today, the Lord divided unto us his living. He died in our behalf. He gave up everything for us. We got our portion. Verse 13, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when it spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine.
The man didn't face a certain responsibility, and he's suffering the consequence of not having done so. Verse 16, he would fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. I'm going to repeat it again. The man didn't face the responsibility that was his. He didn't make the proper decisions. He just threw everything to the wind, and he is now suffering the consequence, but it had no effect upon the love of his father toward the son. You must keep in mind, his father is his father, he is the son of his father, and his father loves him as much in the pig pen as he loved him when he was in the home. The man is suffering the consequence of that which he did. He didn't assume the responsibility. He didn't face the responsibility. He just let everything go, and there he is, and he is now suffering the consequence of having done so. But that doesn't change the love of his father toward him any more than you and I. No matter what you and I might be involved in, it doesn't change the love of God towards us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. But we must face the consequence in this life of the things we do. If I allow myself to lose my temper and grab a shotgun and kill somebody that I dislike and I hate and whatever, I must face the consequence in this life. I can't. There is no way I can shun the responsibility that I'm not to kill that person. If I say, well, I'm not responsible for him, I'll just kill him. It won't affect God's love toward me. I'll just kill him. Well, that's right. It won't affect God's love toward me. But it will affect the consequence upon my life. I must face that responsibility. Verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? And I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I mean, nothing's changed with the father. The son thought it was. Isn't that something? Well, the boy thought that under the condition he was in out there in that pig pen and whatever, that his father's attitude toward him had totally changed. And yet the father's attitude hadn't changed at all. The father was waiting for him all the time. And he didn't, well, he didn't hold it against him. In fact, look what he did to him. Verse 21, the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and the shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. And if you think that I'm teaching here that a man can be saved and then get lost and get saved again, you're out of your mind. I don't believe any such thing. And he isn't teaching me that here. What I want to teach in the thing and make the application in the thing is the very fact that I have a responsibility in this life. I have a responsibility in the dispensation of grace, and I can't shun that responsibility without suffering the consequence that'll follow, just as that boy did. The third thing I want you to notice is, as we face these decisions and whatever, we must ask ourselves, does this decision that I'm making honor God, or does it honor the flesh? Well, how can I know? Well, there's only one way. I have to check the Word of God by the Spirit of God to see whether it honors God or the flesh. Now, there's something here that I wish that I could say to you, and I don't know how to do it. You see, there is something among people, there is an attitude among people, that they can think with their mind and scheme with their mind and have anger against other people in their mind and in their heart, and do that kind of thing and and they're not responsible in that respect. That the only way is to just get out and do certain things. In other words, sin is sin, and transgression of the law is sin. Therefore, if I cut one link of the chain, I've broken the whole thing. For instance, whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, is guilty of all. Cursed is every man that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them, and on the thing goes. There can be no mistaking this thing. And yet people believe that just because that it is secret in their heart between them and God and whatever, that's okay. They're not responsible in that respect. They're only responsible in that thing that they do out there and whatever. And yet, that won't work either. You see, I've got to make the decision on the basis of the Word of God. And folks, I know what my freedom under the Word of God is. I know about my freedom on the Word of God. I know about my responsibility on the Word of God. And I didn't just find it out yesterday, or last year, or the year before. I know about the freedom, and I know about the responsibility. That's why I've taught for years. Bless your soul, if I'm going to do anything, I pray about it. And you know something? If I don't believe deep down in my heart that I can make that thing right with God, I have no intention of being involved. I know the permissiveness of God, but at the same time, I am aware of the fact that just as that boy back there was permitted to leave home, and he was permitted to do that which he did, he also faced the consequence. And so am I aware of that situation in the dispensation of grace. You see, folks, I've studied the Word of God along this line, and I'm not just talking to hear my voice roar. Listen, make your decisions, but make them by the Spirit of God. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ had some decisions to make. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he wasn't saying, you men here, your spirit is willing and your flesh is weak. He's in effect saying, my spirit is willing, my flesh is weak. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And folks, I know exactly what it is to say, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And you know something? There isn't anybody that wants to die. I'm talking about in the sense of Jesus Christ's death. I mean, there are certain things that you and I desire and we want. And we desire and want them with all our heart. But just because we desire and want those things doesn't always mean that just rushing through and running over other people is the way to do things. We must make our decisions on the basis of the Word of God and decide on those things on the basis of the Word of God after prayer and consideration in the Word of God. Leadership of the Spirit. Our responsibility is to follow the Spirit. The fourth thing I want you to notice, we're going to give an account for those decisions that we make. Turn, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6. Therefore, we're always confident, though while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Verse 8, we're confident, I say, and willing rather be absent of the body than to be present of the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad, so forth and so on. We'll give an account for the decisions that we make. And that's very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The works of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is obviously the works done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for Him. And you know something, folks? The thing that's going to be so astounding to so many people when they face the Lord in the judgment seat of Christ is the very fact that all that work that they did, all that preaching and teaching they did, is going to go up in smoke. Even though while they preached and taught, they condemned the activities of some other people, and those people's words are going to be acceptable to God at the judgment seat of Christ, while those people that live such clean, spotless lives, their works are going up in smoke. So, well, that's confusing. It's not confusing if you accept the Word of God at face value and look what it says. We're going to have to face those decisions at the judgment seat of Christ. You and I are responsible. We have a responsibility. And you can't get by in life without facing that responsibility. Then the fifth thing. We cannot have the freedom and liberty of grace without accepting the responsibility that goes with it, as in Romans 14 and 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And the sixth thing, we are responsible unto God for seed sown. Turn to Galatians chapter 6, and I am taking the passage out of its context. I am aware that I am, but I'm going to make an application in the passage. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 7. Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And folks, I am very much aware of what he's talking about. He's talking about money. He's talking about verse 6, let him that's taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth know all good things. And around, I know that. But at the same time, I know what sowing seed is. I was raised on a farm, and I'm well aware that there is a law pertaining to seed. Hey, folks, when you plant seed, fruit is going to come forth. When you plant seed, plants are going to come out. Something is going to come from there. And you can't evade that law. You can't get around that law. You can't miss that law. If you plant something, something is going to follow. In other words, that boy that left his home, went out there and ended up in that hog pen, he planted a certain thing, and then he faced the consequence of that which he planted. And so it is with you and I. Hey, folks, I can always tell about the seed sown by watching the plant that comes up there. I can go out there in the farm, and I can look at the rows of plants out there, and I know what the seed was that man planted out there by the plants that are there. No mistaking that thing. You can't plant the seed without the plants coming up there, and you and I cannot evade the responsibility that is ours in this life without it springing out somewhere, and we must face that responsibility. Consequence will always follow. The seeds will come to life. Now, identification of the seed sown is by the fruit that comes forth. In other words, it might be wheat, it might be tares. But nevertheless, it'll show up. I want to give you some examples of this thing. Smoking cigarettes. Say, Brother Moore, do you believe that smoking cigarettes is sinful? Yes, I certainly do. Say, but I hear that you talk about smoking and people being putting the emphasis on smoking. That's right. When talking about God's love and about grace and God's grace, yes. But that doesn't mean that I believe a man can smoke cigarettes all his life and get by. Hey, a man may enjoy the cigarettes and say, I can't quit these and I can't lay these down. And I love these things and I'm going to smoke these things and whatever. Well, be sure that one day the plants are going to grow. While that
that man is eat up of cancer, and while his teeth are turning black, and his breath is foul, and all the things that go along with it, and he wheezing and coughing and so, why, no way can a man smoke cigarettes and cigars all his life and come out clean. I mean, there ain't no way. You just can't do it. You got a responsibility in this life. Also, drinking booze. Say, but Brother Moore, come on now. I've heard you say that a man is at liberty to drink wine. Yeah, he's at liberty to smoke cigarettes. He's at liberty to drink booze. He's at liberty to do all these things. But there is a natural consequence that is going to follow as sure as a person gets involved. Turn, please, to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. You know, I never did understand why it is that a man, when he's preaching, if he's preaching on absolute pure grace, has to tell believers the other side of the coin while he's preaching, unless they themselves get the idea that just because he believes in pure grace, he's saying that God Almighty intended for us today to just forget it. No responsibility. That's fascinating. Proverbs chapter 23. And notice in verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. In other words, he has to get another drink to get over that which he just had. Then he has to have another drink to get over that one. And then and on. And the Bible says it's like an adder. And the idea is a man tastes it, and it tastes pretty good. But he said down in the bottom of that cup, it biteth like an adder. A man can't end up fooling around booze without suffering the consequence of fooling around that stuff. End up with emphysema and cirrhosis of the liver and just any number of things. You just can't do it. There is a responsibility that we have under grace, and to ignore that responsibility is somewhere down the line is going to bring problems. Notice eating of food. Proverbs chapter 23. Notice in verse 20, Proverbs 23:20, be not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. And I'll guarantee you, if you point an accusing finger at those that smoke cigarettes and drink booze, and yet you yourself are not concerned about the food you eat somewhere, that'll catch up with you. And there ain't no way to get by. I mean, listen, God has a law in this Bible, and in that law, he tells about certain foods, and I can eat the foods. I mean, I can eat the catfish and the oysters and the shrimp, and I love them. But you know something? I know the consequence of eating those things. I can eat the pork, and I love pork, but I know the consequence of eating pork. I can partake of the sugar, and I love the sugar. I can take the chocolate cake and the ice cream and all the rest of the stuff, but I know the consequence of that. I've got a responsibility in the dispensation of grace, and if I ignore that responsibility, it'll catch up with me sooner or later. There's no way to evade it. And you know something, folks? That same thing is true. I don't care. You just figure it out. I mean, in the case of it doesn't make any difference. For instance, I start from here to Birmingham. Now, the law says that I'm to drive 55 miles an hour. If I can drive 80 miles an hour and get away with it, okay. But sooner or later, it'll catch up with me. I'll have to face the consequence. I'm cruising along there on 80 miles an hour, and all of a sudden I see a blue light behind me.
That fellow pulls me over and said, you know how fast you're going? I might as well say, yes, sir, sure do. Intended to go this fast. Go ahead and pay the bill.
See, I did it on purpose, and when I did it, I intended to face the consequence of having done it. Do you understand me? If you're not willing to face the consequence, don't do it.
You know, one time I was praying about a thing. I was seeking the face of the Lord on this thing, and I mean I was praying about it. And I asked God about a certain thing in this Bible. And God showed me something in Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, the Lord sent the apostles forth. And he told them when they went what was going to happen to them. He told them the trouble they were going to have to face, the suffering they were going to go through if they went. That passage the Lord showed me in answer to my prayer. And I've never forgotten that. And you know what? I am well aware of the consequence of that which I do. And I have never shunned the consequence. I have never, and that's why I'm telling you folks, if I do something, I pray about that thing, and just like that boy went into that foreign country there, and just like that boy did the things he did out there, that boy faced the consequence. If I go out there, I face the consequence, and I do it willingly. Just like drinking that booze. If I get drunk, I don't get drunk in ignorance. Hey, I know the result while I'm doing it. If I drive 80 miles an hour, I know the consequence of doing that. If I get caught, and I do it with that in my mind. What I want you to understand, just because that we're in the dispensation of grace, just because there's no condemnation from God for them that are in Christ Jesus, does not change the fact that there can well be some condemnation in this world. There are certain laws that are in nature, that are natural out there, and if you and I ignore those laws, certain things are going to take place. There is no way to avoid that. For young people, and I'm speaking in terms here mainly of Pam and John back there. The others are probably too young to understand what I'm saying. But I'll guarantee you, when young people get together today and go out someplace in the back road somewhere and park and get involved in something out there they have no business being involved in, they better be ready to face the consequence. There is a natural law that will follow. And you better believe it. And there ain't no need for some girl who gets in trouble to come up later and say, I just don't see how this happened. I know exactly how it happens. And people better be ready to face the consequence. We have a responsibility in the dispensation of grace, and to ignore that responsibility is just going to bring about a consequence that cannot be avoided, and no amount of finagling around is going to change that thing. Say, Brother Moore, do you believe that it's all right to just live blah, 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 and so forth? I believe that you can do whatever you want to do in the dispensation of grace, and God Almighty will love you, and nothing will change that love. But I do not believe that you can do anything in the dispensation of grace and not have to face the consequence of having done it. you better be ready to face it. We are responsible. We're not only responsible to God, we're responsible to others as well. You can't evade that responsibility. Would you let's stand for prayer?